I want to welcome Adam Schell to upcoming Dis, and we just saw your movie Pursuing Happiness. What an interesting documentary that was. I just saw it last night, and I have to tell you, I thought it was very, very, very interesting and clever and unique.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad.
Well, I have to ask you, the first question's pretty obvious here. Where did this whole idea come from that you were going to do a documentary on trying to find out, you know, why people are happy and what causes happiness? I just can't imagine where this came from.
Well, you know, there were several pieces that I kind of all put together at the same time for me. One of which was this growing, you know, industry of happiness that we just saw over the past decade kind
right.
of pop up almost out of nowhere in my world, at least, you know, where you just see article after article, book after book, scientific study, you know, all the stuff, you know, college courses coming about, and it was just all of a sudden, I was like, wow, there's so much information on happiness than ever before in my lifetime.
Right.
And pretty much probably the history of the world. And I just thought, what an interesting topic. And I was like, why? Why? I was really curious as to why all this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of one of the pieces, coupled with the previous film I made before this was a film about a friend of mine constantly searches out joy, spends all his extra money and time, you know, doing things to bring more joy into his life.
Right.
That film really resonated with people, inspiring them to look at their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of feedback during festivals and screenings and stuff to that accord. So those two things coupled together, it was just like, you know, I want to make a film that inspires people and at the same time uncovers a lot of information that we are clearly so desperate for.
Yeah, and you did this with Nicholas Kraft, who you've worked with before. So explain that working relationship. Explain how you guys get together and put something like this together.
Well, Nicholas actually was, my friend who I just mentioned, who I made the film about, Richard, Nicholas is his son.
Yeah.
And the film was about the two of them and kind of their relationship.
Okay.
And so when I started working on this film, I was just working on it alone. I was kind of looking for, you know, people to work on it with me. And Nicholas had just graduated college. He came back to L.A. and was looking for an internship. And I said, hey, you want to work for my production company? We could always use an extra hand. He was like, great, that'd be awesome. And so one of the things I had him do initially was just do research for this project. I was
right.
like, hey, research this, research that. And he was just, he really was enjoying himself and knocking it out of the park at the same time. And so as it went along, I was like, you know what? You're nailing this. You want to just come on as a producer? And he was ecstatic. He was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Well, and let's look at the methodology here. Okay, so first thing you have to do now is you have to find happy people, right? So how do you find your subjects?
Well, that was actually one of the things at the beginning that I was like, okay, I'm setting out to find the happiest people in America.
Right.
And I only know a couple hundred people. how am I going to accomplish this? And so what we did is, to begin with, was I just kind of asked myself, well, who's the happiest person I know?
Okay.
And I called them up and I said, hey, I want to come do an interview with you. It turns out he's in the film. It was Ken Brecker, who you know, talks about his experience with the tribes down in the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just called him up and said, hey, I want to interview you for my film. He was more than happy to do it. So I did that. And then that kind of led to the next thing. I asked my wife the same question, which led me to Gloria.
Right.
And so I was like, wow, this is really, I'm getting some really interesting stuff here on just literally two referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's expand. So I started asking Nicholas and asking other people. And to begin with, Nicholas and I took a road trip as kind of like a proof of concept.
Yeah.
From Los Angeles up to Portland, where Nicholas grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And we just asked everybody that we knew along that route for those same referrals, which got us all kinds of interesting people. And it really worked. And so the next thing we did was we started a Kickstarter campaign.
Yes.
And we got hundreds of referrals from that campaign.
Wow. Now, what was it like, as you were interviewing people and asking this question, what was the usual response? How did people initially react to you when you were asking them, you know, about whether they're happy or whether they know happy people?
You know, it's interesting. Some people would immediately say, oh, my God, I know exactly who the happiest person I know is. It's yeah. Judy. You've got to talk to Judy. And some people go, you know, I got to think about this for a minute. But what I found the most interesting was that it was this amazing filter that people really genuinely thought about that question and yeah. wanted to figure out in their own head who the happiest person they know is.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, people figured it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, if you think about it, you generally know somebody who's really happy.
Yeah.
And for one reason or another. And a lot of people would not only tell us, oh, it's this person, but they'd expand on that and tell us why they thought that person was happy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I also thought was really interesting. And so then, you know, once we called people and we said, hey, Judy, my name is Adam, and so-and-so referred me to you as the happiest person they know, most of the time they would be like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I'm
right.
not the happiest person they know. And then after talking to them for about 5 minutes, you're like, oh, yeah, I totally see why they told me you're the happiest person they know.
Well, and that would have been my next question is, these people, as you approached them, did they believe that among themselves? I mean, did they think they were happy, or is this something just other people saw in them?
You know, I don't think it's one of those things that I think is one of the secrets to happiness, and the keys here is I don't think any one of these people really focused on happiness per
right.
se. I don't think they were sitting there going, okay, I want to be the happiest person that people know.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of live their life in a certain way,
yeah.
and the result of those things that they do on a regular basis made them really happy.
Right.
You know, so I don't think they were ever internalizing or intellectualizing of,
sure.
oh my God, I'm so happy, and it's because of all these things we do. I think maybe they are now that they've seen the film.
Whoa.
And they're like, oh yeah, that's why I'm so happy. But I mean, it wasn't really until we started the conversation and started talking to them
yeah.
that they really started taking it apart, even for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, these people, did you find any other kind of common element? I assume that you were searching maybe for what happiness is in a lot of ways. Did you find some kind of common denominator or element here that you saw all the time in these people?
Yeah, there were several things. I mean, one of it, which is what I just said.
Right.
You know, we talked a lot about this in the film. We talked to a professor up at Berkeley, Iris Moss,
yeah.
who, if you remember, appears in the film, and she says, you know, one of the things in her research that she's discovered is that the pursuit of happiness actually isn't a good route to happiness.
Yeah.
Kind of one of those things. I mean, if you look even back into Old English and where the word happiness comes from, the root of it comes from words that are synonymous with pursue.
Right.
You know, and it's like almost like you're pursuing it with hostility. You're going after it.
Sure.
And you know, when you pursue something, it almost like gets further and further away. It's like
yeah.
the dream you have when you're trying to get somewhere and you're running really fast but you're actually running really slow.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's one of those things that I think most of these people aren't focused on themselves and their own happiness.
Right.
They're focused on a lot of other things. And often what we find is those other things are other people.
Sure.
They externalize their focus, and they say, okay, how can I help other people? How can I make other people's lives better?
Yeah.
And as a result, they become happier.
Well, and these people, I did notice that for the most part, the people you had on the show are relatively energetic, they're relatively outgoing, and it seems that maybe that might be a big common denominator. Like you said, connecting with other people by being so outgoing, by being so gregarious.
Yeah, I mean, some were very outgoing and very gregarious. I mean, I think the ones that automatically stand out in our heads and our minds are people that are outgoing, are gregarious. They connect with other people. I mean,
right.
that is, you know, as we discovered early in the film, like, as we break down the film into three different acts, that
yeah.
first act is all about why happiness. Why does it exist?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of different stuff that encompasses that answer. But the bottom line is it exists because it's what brings us together. It's
sure.
what bonds us as humans into communities.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, that is what is really credit for our survival.
Right.
Now, we're not strong individually, but we're strong as groups. And that is, I think, one of the big keys to happiness. So when you see people that are happy, they are connecting with other people, so you automatically think of them as outgoing and gregarious. area.
Right.
When sometimes they're not those types of people. Sometimes they're introverts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife, for example, is an introvert. But
yeah.
when she is the happiest, she's actually relating with other people and connecting with other people. It taxes her. It definitely takes energy out of her in a way that it might put energy into a person that's an extrovert.
Sure.
But, you know, it is one of those things that that's when you really start to shine and you really become happy is when you're connected with other people.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely true. I got to tell you, one of the people that you did include on this that I knew about is I'm a big fan of Richard Sherman, because
yeah.
ever since I was a kid, I'm a songwriter too. So I, you know, talk about having a job that would make you happy. I can understand why he's happy with, you know, what he got to do for a living is phenomenal, and he's become a classic in Americana. I mean, he'll never be forgotten. Those songs will be sung by kids for.
Right.
Forever. And that has to be making. And I love the idea when they talked about what he talked about, people asking him about how much money he made, and that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the thing that made him happy about what he did. And I think you made that point a lot, is that you talk a little bit about the relationship between money and happiness, and it doesn't go quite the way people expect, does it?
No, not at all. Look, we live in a capitalist society.
Yeah.
The focus of our society is more.
Yeah.
And we can't escape that. You know, it's not like we're going to one day just flip a switch and go, oh, we don't need that. You see a lot of people talking about, oh, we need to shed, we need to less, we need to declutter, we need to do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as one person does that, there's the other person on the flip side who's just going to follow suit of society and go, oh, more.
Right.
That's what we're constantly told. But if it's happiness that you're after, that is not the road.
Right.
That might get you more. It might make you. You might make more money. You might have more stuff, a bigger house, a nicer car, nicer clothes, whatever
right.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a road to happiness, as we clearly, you know, state, you know, discovered in the film.
Well, and I think another important point you make is that happiness is relative. And I noticed that in my own life. I mean, because of what we're used to, you know, if the power goes out for 4 hours, we're very upset, and it's like a terrible thing, and you're not realizing there are people, you know, who live a lot worse than this on a normal basis, but we're inconvenienced,
right.
and that creates a problem for us. So it becomes relative. The more you have, the more reliant you are on them, and the more important they are, and the unhappier you get when you don't have them for a moment.
Right, and I think that's a good point there, but at the same time, I think what you said earlier is it's all about attitude, right?
Yeah.
If the power goes off for a couple hours, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
It's not like you control the switch. It's not like you run down the street
exactly.
or something and make it happen. So
right.
you almost have to just sit back and say, okay, that's what the world just gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna let this ruin my day. Maybe I'll make it into the best thing. You know,
yeah.
I work on my computer. You know, like
yeah.
I'm editing and all that, I'm
sure.
tied to the power outlet.
Right.
If that power were to go out, all those hours that it's out, I lose.
Right.
So my attitude can be one of two things. I can sit there and be pissed off for all those hours and say, oh my God, this is ruining my day, and I'm just going to get behind, blah, 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 blah. Or I can say, hey, I just got 4 hours off. What am I going to do with my time?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? I think we lose that as children. You know, I grew up in the North where, you know, we had snow days sometimes, and we look forward to those unexpected days off. They were a big deal to us as adults. You worry about having to drive in the snow. It
right.
it changes our perspective, and that leads me to the Gloria character, because I think that what you just said describes her brilliantly, in that here's a character who has every reason to be down in the world, every reason to be depressed, and she actually tells you guys she would not trade it for anything.
Right, exactly. I mean, imagine that. 28 years old, you're diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, which is, in all senses, a death sentence.
Right.
And she said, you know what? Cancer, you're not going to ruin my life. In fact, you're going to make it better.
Yeah.
She turned this thing into, she said, okay, what's all the things that I can do
right.
to make this a good thing? You know, she started her blog, she started a foundation, she started helping other cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best possible attitude we can have, and sharing her experience. And yeah, she is a total inspiration, because it's that moment of ultimate fear
yeah.
that we all have of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But as she so brilliantly points out in the film, she says, you know, we all live as if we're guaranteed 80 years.
Right.
You know, and we all live our lives as if we have this endless amount of time in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not true. She said, you have no idea whether tomorrow's your day or 20 years from now is
very
your day.
True.
And so the point is, you've got to live today. You've got to enjoy every single day, because every day is a day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you only get so many, why screw up half of them?
Right. But yeah, absolutely an inspiration. And so how much time did you get to spend with these people?
You know, it varied. I mean, with Gloria, we spent a couple different days with Gloria,
uh-huh.
going back and checking in with her. And,
right.
You know, she was, you know, not only was it really convenient because she lives in L.A. and we live in L.A.
Okay, yeah.
So that was easy. But, you know, some people we talked to for 5 minutes. Like, there's those two great guys that we met on the street in New York. And they come throughout the film in a couple different places.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, they were two guys who were walking down the street in New York, and they stopped us, and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're like, I just said, I'm going to turn my camera on for this. So we just talked to them, and they just had a great perspective, and they were really fun and funny,
yeah.
And so, like, they ended up making the film, you know? So it really did vary.
So what surprised you the most out of this? You must have had some expectations going in. What did you walk out of there with the biggest surprise for you?
You know, the biggest surprise for me is, there's a moment in the film at the beginning of Act 3, which is the title of Act 3, is How Do We Find Happiness in Tragedy?
Right.
And we went up to Santa Barbara and we spoke with this life coach, Gary Van Wormerdam. Van Wormerdam.
Mm-hmm.
I can never pronounce his name correctly. Sorry, Gary. But the thing that surprised me most is something he pointed out to me, and it kind of takes it, I'll take it to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, every day we walk through life, our expression is our experience.
Right.
And I said, oh, you mean like what you give is what you get?
Mm-hmm.
I've all heard that sentence.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
He said, no, you don't. It's not what you give is what you get. You don't have to give something and then wait for it to come back around.
Right.
He said, what you give is your experiencing it, your experience as you give it. So if I express anger, I'm experiencing anger.
Right.
If I express happiness or compassion, I'm experiencing happiness or compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that was something that really never clicked for me until he said that. I was like, oh, I didn't believe that, you know, you know, you're in a moment and somebody does something nice for you, and you're like, oh, that's because I did something nice for somebody else. You know? And you're like, that's kind of the
right.
thought we have in our head. But it's so true that in the moment, in every moment, we have the power to change our expression,
yeah.
to change the way we react to things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we react to things negatively and express anger or fear or, you know, something negative, that's how we're going to experience life.
Yeah.
So that was the thing that really kind of tipped it over for me was that you have the power in every moment to change your reaction.
Yeah. Well, and I assume that you expect that people who watch this, it could have a very big impact on their lives as well. So the natural question is, did doing this have an impact on your life? How has your life changed because you met these people and that you were involved in this project?
You know, I get that question a lot. You're absolutely right. That's partially why I made the film, was to figure out what those little things are,
right.
how you can change your life. And,
yeah.
And hopefully have an effect on a lot of people,
sure.
Including myself.
Obviously.
And I will say that, you know, there's two big takeaways for me, one of which is exactly that I just said about being able to change your expression.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's not something that's just easy to do, right? You know.
No, it's not. It's
but
not.
Actually doing it in the moment. I have little kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you something. Sometimes they push you. You know?
I'll bet.
Really far. Being able, you know, having those, it's like I constantly get practice in this. I'm like, okay, I am really mad right now. But I know that's not a good emotion to have when I want to actually get something done.
Right.
So how can I adjust myself? And then, you know, I think back to all these people, and I go, okay, I'm a channel Gloria right now. Okay, here we go. So that's definitely one of them. And the other one is, it goes to the other point of the film that, you know, I was what my other big discovery is when I set out to make this film, I was like, I'm going to make a film about the happiest people in America.
Right.
I want to find all the kinds of happiness that are out there. laughter and candy and smiling people. And I, some of the people ask me, they're like, well, don't you want to, you know, kind of investigate people who've gone through some tragedy and figured out how to become happy? And I was like, no. I don't care what they did through. I just want to know how they're happy.
Happy, right?
But what I realized is that it's the yin and the yang. You have to experience tragedy and sadness to be able to experience happiness. And if you don't experience both sides,
right,
you're not really living.
Well, you can't tell the difference if you don't. How do you define one without the other?
Exactly. They go hand in hand. And you have to be able to live and accept the times that you're unhappy and that tragedy happens.
Right.
You know, be able to say, okay, this is happening, that's okay, but, you know, we'll get through this, and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm headed for that light, and it's okay that I'm sad or upset or unhappy right now, because I know how to get to happiness.
Right.
I know how to get back there, and you've got to experience all of it, because we're human, right?
Exactly.
And if you don't experience all of it...
Now, having this under your belt, Is this something you intend to pursue further, or are you on to something else, or what's in it for you now? What's the next plan?
You know, my stated goal when I started this project was I want as many people as possible to see this film.
Yeah.
Because I really do believe that, you know, being able to see this film and connect with these people, and that's why I did such a big journey of interviewing 400 plus people.
Right, yeah.
Really kind of going to the lengths of discovering the secrets to happiness here was because I really think it has an ability to help people and, you know, if nothing else, give people a little bit of perspective and some tips and tricks and ideas and, you know, emotional connection with people who are doing it right.
Right.
So that's really my next move here is to get this film out there and get it seen by as many people as I can. And that, you know, that involves a lot of different things, but, you know, I'm going to be trying to attend as many screenings as I can and do a lot of Q&As, you know, be really, you know, try and be a resource for people.
Well, tell our audience some places or some methods they can get around to seeing it, because we obviously want to share it with our audience as well. So give us an idea of how some of our audience can experience this film.
Well, the film will be coming out through Tug.com, Q-G-G, which is a online crowdsourcing kind of on-demand theatrical system where basically you can bring the film to any theater around the country and around the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of go online, you check out your area, see if there's a screening happening. If there isn't, you can sponsor one and say, hey, I want to sponsor a screening, and then tell all your friends and family and get everybody to buy tickets so you can go see the film in a theater.
Great.
Which is, in my opinion, the best way to see it, because it does bring the community together, which helps spark conversation and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be coming out on Tug in the next couple weeks. All the information for that will be on our website, which is pursuinghappiness.com.
And we'll include that on the we'll include that on this post as well. We'll make sure to put a link there so people can go there.
Wonderful. And then additionally, we're also doing an educational release, which will come out I think it's in May.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll go out to all the schools and libraries and educational systems throughout the country.
Yeah.
And then later in the year, in the fall, we'll be releasing on DVD and VOD and digital and all that kind of stuff.
So it sounds like people have an opportunity to see it, and I certainly recommend it to be watched out there. And once again, we'll make sure we link to your website so that people can keep up on where they might be able to see it. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about it. I know you've been very busy with it, and I hope that this turns out to be something you can get out to the largest audience possible.
Me too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.